This episode of the Press Row Podcast is proudly brought to you by Out of the Park Baseball 17, the most authentic and fun baseball strategy game ever made. Out of the Park Baseball 17 is available now worldwide on PC, Mac, and Linux, and can be purchased from Steam or directly from the Out of the Park Development's website. This is the Out of the Park you've been waiting for. Fully licensed by Major League Baseball and the MLBPA, and jammed with dozens of new community-driven features spanning over a century of baseball from the Major Leagues all the way through the minors, you can get Out of the Park Baseball 17 for a special 10% discount off the $39.99 price just by entering the code PRESS17 at checkout. So go to ootpdevelopments.com, buy Out of the Park Baseball 17, and enter the code PRESS17 to get 10% off. Help the Press Row Podcast and indie sports game development.
We're now a few weeks into the MLB season, and the same goes for MLB The Show 16, which after a few patches now is mostly functional. We talked some about Diamond Dynasty and the new ways to play within it and all its new features in our Review Roundtable Press Row podcast last week, but with a few weeks under our belts now, I thought it would be a good time to really examine it in more detail. It's arguably now the most popular mode of play in the game, and it's definitely the one that gets the most discussion on social media, and with the weekly and daily roster and ratings changes that come in, it makes things more interesting on a daily basis. So joining me, Brian Wiedeye, is noted team-building mode expert TJ Lowerman, also known as That Sports Gamer, and we're going to discuss it all. TJ, how have you been lately?
I've been very well. I need to update my Twitter to say noted team-building expert.
Yes, it's a special title that I have now given you.
I appreciate that. I feel like you just knighted me.
I did.
Some sort of controller device.
I have
maybe a Wiimote.
Yeah, I have the ability to do that now, and I'm really excited about that.
I'm really excited to be here talking about Diamond Dynasty.
Yeah, and I know you have a gripe you want to get off your chest, first of all, before we even get into the Diamond Dynasty stuff.
Yeah, you said that Diamond Dynasty is very popular on social media.
Mm-hmm, it is.
There's a movement underway that I'm helping lead. if you're playing on a PlayStation 4.
Which you probably are.
There is a button on the controller above the D-pad, like a little to the right. It says share. Now, what that can be used for.
And it's not the videos. D-pad, TJ. It's the touchpad.
No, to the left of the touchpad, to the upper right of the D-pad.
Yes, you are right. Sorry, I was.
You know where it is? It's directly under the word share.
that does clear it up. Thank you.
There's a button-shaped thing that you can press, and you can take a screenshot, edit some videos, and then you can tweet those out. So I don't want to see another person take a photo with their cell phone with the worst glare that I've ever seen. You just told me you beat Louis Tion. I can't tell because all I see is int. Because you have so much glare in the picture.
You don't think the shaky cam adds to the effect, the magnitude of these moments, TJ? Come on.
Speaking of magnitude, I was watching a highlight today, and I believe there was a magnitude 7.6 earthquake that happened during the highlight. I don't know if the person dropped their phone or something. It was ridiculous.
Well, immediately that needed to be uploaded as the official recording of that highlight.
Yeah.
Because there's no other way to do it. But yeah, I agree. I mean, I see so many videos on Twitter and Facebook, and all you have to do, there's recording functionality built into the PS4. All you have to do is use that. You can upload it straight to Twitter, straight to Facebook. It's really not all that difficult.
Some people say it takes longer, but wouldn't you want that, that? First off, I don't think it takes longer. Secondly, don't you want that, a little bit of quality?
You want to preserve the moment, TJ.
Yeah. I don't understand it.
And yeah, and people are still doing that. And it's like half of the videos I see on there are shaky camera recordings off the TV. I don't get it either. So
it's more than half. And you know what? Those people are getting blocked soon, so it'll be less than half. So.
You are helpfully tweeting out pictures of the share button.
Just in case. Obviously, you were confused. You thought it was somewhere else.
Without looking at it. Yeah,
it's
right.
Under the word share.
Yeah, it's the options button is the one I was thinking of. But yes, it's the share button is the one to the left of the touchpad. You are correct.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying. And so I think I'd basically like to just go one by one through the features in Diamond Dynasty, how it's affecting the way people progress with their teams and the way people are enjoying the mode in general. I think the biggest issue last year was the lack of variety. There were too few players involved in the mode, and once certain ones were obtained, everybody basically ended up with the same roster, the same teams when you played online, and it got pretty old pretty quick. So what has changed in that regard this year? So let's start with the new card types, TJ. Talk a little bit about what card types there are now and how they're playing a role with your team and within the mode in general.
Yeah, so last year there was just the live series cards, which is the entire major league roster, essentially. Mm-hmm. Everybody that played in the pros that year. Which at some point, if you were diligent enough, you could literally get all the cards.
Plus there were 30 legends, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the legends, the word on the street was you could find them in packs.
Well, they had to come from somewhere, right?
Well, you can get them by doing you could do the collections to earn them, but you couldn't sell the ones that you got in the collections. But every once in a while on the auction house, I would see ones up for sale.
Yeah.
Which means I guess they would have had to be in packs, but I've never seen anybody pull one in a pack, because I assume that would be something they'd break out their camera phone and take a picture of and put it on the internet.
Yes, absolutely. You have to capture those moments with your camera phone. And I've definitely noticed, and maybe it's partially due to just being the first few weeks, but when I go and play someone online, the rosters that I'm facing are pretty unique. They're very different from what I'm rolling out there, which I think makes things far more interesting when you're playing online.
Yeah, and that's due to some of the additions, like the there's rookie flashbacks, which are active players, but like old rookie cards, so mm-hmm. they might not even have been good in their rookie year. So you might see like I think it's a 69 Andrew Miller from yep. back in the day.
And you can find some, you can unlock some of those guys with your collections and stuff, and that's what, you know, there was like a 80s, low 80s Matt Kemp for the Dodgers, and
there's an 85, there's an 85 Bryce Harper, which is pretty legit and going for like 25 to 40 grand right now.
Wow, really? On the market? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting, and I wonder if you get to a certain point, though, and I think I'm almost to that point where those guys, most of them are probably not going to have a place on my roster.
And it's nice because it's a cheaper version than the super elite version. Like I think the real Bryce Harper is going for like 80 or 90,000.
That's like
stubs.
A 97 rated, right? So
yeah,
that's understandable.
And the majority of these rookie flashbacks, I think you can get by doing the small collections for teams, which are having 25 players from a certain team. Mm-hmm. That'll lock the cards to your team. Yeah. But you can still use them, and you can feed them into your dynasty player if you want.
Yeah, and that's what I've done. I completed the collection for the Rays, which gave me a highly rated Carl Crawford. I completed the collection for the Mariners. All right, no, right.
For the Rays, when you do the 25-man collection.
Yeah.
That's when you get, it's a 85 gold Scott Kazmir. But then if you do all the Rays,
yes,
you get the 90 Crawford.
Yeah, so I did. I completed the Rays, all of them, for the Crawford. And then the Mariners I completed. And that also led to feeding them, my Diamond Dynasty player, enough Mariners players. And eventually I got my prize possession right now, which is the, I believe it's the 2001 Ichiro. Which is mm-hmm. a diamond card. Yeah, 2001. It's a diamond 93. And he pretty much just anything in the infield, he beats it out. And then he, just today, which I posted on Twitter, robbed a home run, which saved me a win. Robbed it over the fence.
Now you're getting into, here's where things get a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
So you did the 25 Mariners collection. Correct?
And that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that got you...
Shin-Soo Chu.
Yes, that got you an 81 overall Shin-Soo Chu. If you don't know, daddyleagues.com/DD, bookmark that. Mm-hmm. That has pretty much everything you need to know. You can go there, you can look up all the card ratings. You can even see the Inside Edge updates on that page.
Mm-hmm.
You can see their selling prices and how the market's been going recently. But they also have a tab that has all the missions, and that shows you who you get for the 25-man collections. It'll also tell you the estimated cost of doing those 25-man collections.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will also show you who the reward and the cost for the complete collection is. So, like, getting all the Mariners and collecting them will give you a 93 Edgar Martinez.
Yeah, I'm still working towards that. I got to get Felix and Cruz. Those are the only two I have left on. Actually, no, there's some new players that I have to collect now that they added in the roster update. But, yeah, I'm pretty close to that.
And so now to get Ichiro, what you had to do was first you had to beat the Mariners in conquest mode.
Yes.
And take their stronghold.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had to play so many innings to get Michael Pineda, right?
I think it was 750 for the Mariners.
And then you had to feed Mariner players into your dynasty player.
Mm-hmm.
So many that you got Ichiro Suzuki.
So explain to me the feeding process, because what I didn't know going in was, is it based on basically player ratings, how heavily it factors into the percentage? Because you have to get to 100% to unlock him, and it's based on how much you feed him from the Mariners. Now, what I mostly did was I found the cheapest guys I could get and bought a crap load of those guys and kept feeding them to them. Would have been the same thing if I just bought a couple really expensive guys for the same amount as, you know, 50 cheap guys and just fed them to them. Would it have resulted in the same length of process there?
Yeah, from what I've heard, since I haven't started doing any of these yet, I think depending on the level of the guy, like common, bronze, silver, gold, or diamond, you get more of that percentage as you cash them in.
Mm-hmm. That's what
so,
I was.
So if you did a whole bunch of commons, you might need a ton of commons. But if you did a bunch of silvers, you wouldn't need as many.
That's basically what I was thinking. So what I would do is I would find the cheapest silver, usually like somebody who was 75 or whatever it might be, and was the cheapest on the market. And that was Carnes, I think, for the Mariners. Mm-hmm. So I just bought a crap load of his cards. And then I wanted to feed more like infielders just to my Diamond Dynasty guy just to improve his skills, because that's where I have him playing. But yeah, that's what I did, and it went quicker than I expected, and it wasn't quite as pricey as I thought it would be. I probably spent, I don't know, $7,500 or something, maybe a little more than that. Maybe it was closer to $10,000 or something, but it was definitely
worth it.
Oh yeah, definitely worth it. So that's where I got my Ichiro, and that he's paying off for me already. It's pretty fun to pull him out. And the one thing I don't like about it as far as going online to play with these teams is you don't really know when you see your opponent has an Ichiro. You don't really know. Is there any way to identify what Ichiro that is? Because on the lineup screen, it doesn't show you. I guess you can go in and look at his ratings, but without like pausing and stuff. Is there any way to identify what types of cards that your opponent has?
Yeah, I don't think so unless you went in and actually saw their rating.
Yeah, because I go up against guys and you're like, oh, he's got Matt Kemp. Well, there's a big difference between the 90-some rated Matt Kemp from prime of his career and the 81 rated Matt Kemp right now.
Yeah, I think there's like there's at least three Matt Kemps, I assume.
I see
a rookie,
him.
A superstar, a rookie, a prime, and then a live series.
Yeah, I see him a lot.
And I know the way Madden did it, I mean, you could still go into the depth chart, but I know some guys had like different accessories depending on which version it was. Like I think there was like a Mike Vick that had a glove on his non-throwing hand, and then a Mike Vick that didn't have a glove on his non-throwing hand.
Yeah,
you need, so that was like one book. Way you could check.
You need a book on all this stuff, TJ.
Hey guys, TJ here, chiming in real quick. I just wanted to let you know that coming up at PAX East, I'm going to be doing a panel about live streaming. So if you're there on Sunday, April 24th, why not swing by the Dragonfly Theater at 2:30 p.m.? We have a panel called As Seen on Twitch, So You Want to Be a Live Streamer. Myself, Z Farls, and S Gibbs, who you may remember have been on a couple of Press Row year-end shows, are going to be talking about live streaming. What it takes to help build your channel, build an audience, and build your confidence in streaming online. And if you're there, I hope you can come out. Also, I think we'll put the video up on YouTube, so make sure you're following me on Twitter, @ThatSportsGamer. to get all the updated links and everything that you need for that. Now let's get back to the show.
Like, the one thing I'm impressed with Diamond Dynasty was, look, the Ultimate Team modes, they are overwhelming to me. And when you talk about them, when you talk about all the content they have in them, my whole body just goes numb, and I don't know what 90% of what you're talking about. Diamond Dynasty, it could be that way. I mean, when you start going into things like you have a Diamond Dynasty player and you train him by feeding him cards and you have all these different collections and stuff. But I think what it does really well is it's fairly simple in terms of working towards a goal. Mm-hmm. Like when you're doing Conquest, which was, we'll talk about a little more later, confusing in a sense at first at least. But you know, hey, when I beat that team's stronghold, I've unlocked something and I go into my missions area.
Yep.
And
yeah, having those missions and these collections and the captain rewards, I mean, there's always something you're playing towards. Mm-hmm. Even after you beat everything, I think there's still going to be stat rewards that you're gonna be playing towards.
So I mean there are stats, and I'm looking at them right now, and you know, I'm on silver for some of them, I'm gold for home runs, working towards the next threshold to receive XP and stubs, and there's so many different things here that you just, I go in there every day and I check, like, oh, okay, I've got this ready to redeem. And
good, and looking out, I just checked, I just became Tally Home Runs 4, so...
Oh, there you go.
Excited for that.
Yeah, so... let's see. So I also am now at the point where I need to feed White Sox players. So I've played enough innings. I think it was like 1,000 for the White Sox. It was more than 1,000. Mariners. And so now I've got... Who did I unlock with that? It was a catcher.
Yeah, Carlton Fisk for that.
Yeah, Carlton Fisk. So now I'm really liking my team once I filled that in there. So it's pretty fun because you're always working towards that next unlock or that next pack you're going to get to open. And you've got things like, let's talk a little bit about captains then, TJ, because this is something that's easily overlooked. And I didn't even look at captains until like a week after I started. And I was, oh, I'm close to, or I was at a rank 30. Okay. Now I've got this Jose Abreu from the Donaldson captain I'm gonna take. And right now it's different. It's a Matt Carpenter if you had the tickets for it there. But this is another way they're trying to incentivize you to play different types of rosters, different players, because look, if you've got the Donaldson, you're going to get extra credit for having, or you're going to get credit for guys who have a clutch of 75 or higher. So you might want to go out and pursue certain players for your teams that have that trait, or go through your collection already. And if it's close, you might give the edge to a guy who has a certain trait that's going to help you with your captain. And right now I'm working on, what am I working on here?
Well, I think at the time of this recording, everybody's trying to work on, who is it? Was it? I think it's Hosmer. Yeah, everybody's trying to do Hosmer because he's got the Carlos Correa card as his level 30.
Yeah,
which needs 1,700 tickets for it.
Oh, that takes 1,700. Wow.
Yeah. So, quick tip: you don't actually have to go in and find all the players that are 75 clutch by trying to go into their stats and everything. Mm. On the card, there's 6 little dots above their name and position. And depending on which captain they work for, they fill in those dots.
Okay, so I never even... It's funny you say that. I never even noticed that. And if I had noticed it, I did not know what it signified. So it's got the 6 captains, is that right? Yeah,
yep.
6 captains. And then if it's filled in with the color, then you know that they qualify for that captain?
Yeah, because I realized that because I was like, how am I going to figure out who's wearing the number 40 or above?
Yeah, that would be annoying.
And those don't show up on the player card anywhere.
Yeah.
So you would either have to know, or you have to know that to look at these little C's that are on the cards.
Mm. Yeah. Let's see. I'm working on Altuve as, and I probably wish I hadn't done that now because I don't really need an 85 rated pitcher. But I guess you're building up towards. They're eventually going to have cards beyond rank 30. Is that the idea?
I've heard that they're going to go, because you can max out your captains at level 50, I think.
Mm.
So I've heard rumors that they would be adding more stuff to the store then.
Yeah.
I don't know when that would happen, but my plan of attack right now is just kind of getting everyone to 30.
Mm.
And then after I get there, then I'll start building up to
60. Let's see. I've got Donaldson at 30, and I've got Altuve at 26 at the moment. But I do like that they switch out the cards. So these guys are in there for the lower ranks for a shorter amount of time, for a matter of hours. And then the rank 30s are there for, I don't know, a week. And then they switch them out. So like there's 5 days, 21 hours currently left as we're recording on the rank 30 guys.
And the guys in the store for that captain will always fit that captain reward.
The packs?
I believe the packs, but also the cards that you can get there.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you're right. So they are designated to them, yeah.
So in theory, if you wanted to make a list of who could pop up in, like, say, Josh Donaldson's store in that high spot,
yeah,
you could look and be like, well, here are all the... Assuming the last spot is always gold, which it's not because I just saw one of the stores has Carlos Martinez, who's an 84. But assuming that it's going to be almost always gold, you can go in and say, here are all the gold players with a clutch of 75 or higher. So these guys are going to show up in the store at some point or another.
Yeah, I guess my confusion at first was that I thought if it was, you know, a slugger, I assumed that there were all going to be sluggers in there. And then if it was a pitcher, then you were going to be getting a pitcher. But that's not true because Altuve's are all pitchers for some reason. And all young players. So
they're just short.
Yeah.
Is what they are.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Altuve is young. They're all 26
or under. It's 26 or under is the qualification there. So I think it's pretty interesting. It caught me off guard when I switched my captain and then I saw my XP drop to 0 or to 1 or whatever it was. So, and I didn't understand why at first. And I was like, oh, okay. It was because it's XP per captain instead of just total XP. Because we're just used to the total XP, right? That's how it's been in the past year.
Yeah, it used to go 0 to 30 and then a week after the game you're at 30 and then you're kind of done. But if you go to your universal profile page, which is the Madden timeout button, also known as the PlayStation touchpad, then go to profile, you'll get a total number of all your captains added up. So, like, I'm at 55.
Yeah, let's see if it'll load. It takes forever. Everything takes forever. Yeah, 56 for me. I'm ahead of you. Wow. That's amazing. So yeah, it's interesting. So what's your most played modes there, TJ? How much?
Oh, Diamond Dynasty.
Yeah.
But what is?
I have 200.
What is the number next to it?
I don't know. Is that can't be minutes?
Innings?
I don't think. No, it can't be innings. So I have 271,000 for Diamond Dynasty.
Yeah, I have 206,000.
Is that the XP? Points
maybe
that's been earned?
You know what, it might be XP.
Yeah, like the XP.
Yeah, because you would get a lot of XP by doing those missions.
Yeah,
and redeeming that stuff. So that's probably what.
Yeah,
that is.
Yeah, because I've had things where you get 10,000 XP or something. So that's got.
Here's what's really funny. Remember how the servers used to be god awful?
Yeah. Well.
so it has my online.
I remember.
It has your online totals on the profile page.
Yeah.
So in 2013, I played 41 games online.
Yeah.
In 2014, I played 36, so it got worse.
Yeah.
Then in 2015, I need to open up the calculator because I don't know how to add those numbers. I played over 202 games online, and this year I'm already up to 39.
So is that just 9-inning games, or is that counting the three-inning battle royales?
I gotta assume that's gotta be counting the battle royales.
Yeah. So what's your if that's counting it, then it really skews. There's a page that pops up when you start an online game or a Diamond Dynasty game, and it shows you like your runs per game and your ERA and like steals per game and stuff. And I'm pretty sure they're not calculating that properly or extrapolating what a 3-inning game means to a 9-inning game because they're way off. It's like I have 1K per game. It's like, no, I don't strike out one guy per 9 innings. That's definitely not right. But like from here, I can see in 2016, I have a runs per game of 1.52 compared to last year, 3.5. So they must not be calculating properly again because I don't think my production has dropped off by two runs per nine innings. And my average, though, so what's your average there for this year?
296.
Wow. That's pretty good, man. I'm 245.
Hey, back in 2013, I was hitting 348.
In 2013?
Yeah.
In 2013, I batted 240. In 2014, I batted 130. I think I gave up because the online was so bad.
Yeah, I got 266 last year when online worked. So.
Yeah, 253 last year. ERA, 297. So my pitching is really good, though. K's, wow. Oh, here K's per nine is right. I got 9 K's per nine innings.
Damn. I have 6.32 and a 3.5 ERA.
3.5 ERA. So you're definitely more productive than me offensively, but maybe I have a slight edge. I think that's kind of familiar. And that's how it was in our franchise last season.
Yeah, and the majority of this has been Battle Royale.
Yeah,
I think I've only played like 4 or 5 online at the end of games.
Well, Battle Royale is interesting because it's almost like it's dropping you into the seventh inning of a game, a tie game. Because it's a 3-inning game, and your starter is already tired. They might be able to go 1 inning, maybe 2, depending on how you stretch it. You might be able to go longer. They'd have to take an at-bat in that situation. But, it's there's no margin for error, really, in those games. It's very different. It's kind of fun. It's exciting in that way. But it's a very different type of experience than a 9-inning game where if I drop behind, I feel like I can come back and make a run or take the lead, and you don't really have as much opportunity there. Inside Edge, TJ, we talked a little bit about it, but this is the new addition that adjusts a player's ratings on a daily basis so that you go in. And in Diamond Dynasty, you go to the squad page, you go to Daily Matchup Rating, or you go to Daddy Leagues or the Show Nation website where you can see all this. And they adjust guys every day based on basically the matchups that they're facing that evening in the real world. So like I'm looking at it right now, and Brandon Belt is a plus 12 today. And it says it's because he's slugging 657 and hitting 371 against pitchers similar to the guy he's facing this evening. And as we record this, that it's Robbie Ray of the Diamondbacks. So it's giving him a huge advantage in Diamond Dynasty based on his perspective matchup in real life. Now, so I guess I wanted to see what you think of Inside Edge in general, because I looked through here and there's 48 pages today of Inside Edge changes, and there's got to be 30 guys with a plus 10 or higher. There's probably 75 guys with a plus 5 or higher, and then you go on down the line and you can find guys who are dropping down by 9 points or net down by 7 or 6. And it seems a little dramatic to me, and I don't know about you, but it definitely gives you a reason to consider other guys you have. Has that caused you to adjust your lineups on a daily basis?
Yeah, pretty much every time I go in and sit down and start playing, I'll go into my squad, do the auto-generate lineup, because that'll take into effect.
Oh, it does.
Or take into account the Inside Edge stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll just tinker from there depending on if I can actually hit with the player or not. But yes, some of the changes are huge. Like, who was I just looking at? Like, John Jaso's got like plus 16 to plus 17 to contact.
Wow.
To both his contact and both his power things. Now here's my big gripe with it. Mm-hmm. So for instance, John Jaso has a plus 13 trend today. He's slugging 585 and hitting 341 against right-handers with good curveballs like Colin Ray in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's really good against right-handers with good curveballs. Why is he also getting plus 17 to his contact versus lefties and contact versus and his power versus lefties?
Yeah.
That's what I don't get.
Yeah, it's applying in ways. Like the first day I looked at it, it was the first day of the season. There were some pretty big errors in how Inside Edge was being applied, and it was things like it seemed to be misinterpreting what certain stats meant. Pretty much the opposite, and this was basically for pitchers. And so it was deducting points from guys who really actually should have been going up and things like that. And I think that's been addressed. Mm-hmm. But you're right. You're seeing ratings move up in kind of a sweeping manner for certain players, and it's dramatic. And it can make it fun because then you go down and you're like, oh, here's a 76 rated guy who I never would have thought I would put on my team. And now I'm gonna switch him in for a guy who's normally rated 83 or whatever because now he's higher. And like for me, and this is just me, I like to stick with the guys I'm familiar with. Mm-hmm. And so I might tinker with the bottom, like my bench, and I might tinker with who I start, but I'm probably not going to bring in a guy that I normally wouldn't be playing just because his ratings are up for the day. That's just me. And I know some people are probably going to make changes every day based on these ratings. And I think that's fine. That's great because it keeps things fresh, but I'm not going to sacrifice the guys who I'm comfortable with and who perform for me on a daily basis for just a quick pop. And like, first base, Chris Colabello of the Blue Jays. I swear, every day he is like a plus 10.
He's always up there. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand why. Like, then just increase his ratings in general. Like, today he's plus 12 in contact versus both right and left, plus 12 in power versus both right and left.
Which makes him a monster.
Yeah. So he's up in the 80s pretty much in all those categories. So why don't you just raise his ratings? Because you're boosting him every day in Inside Edge. Seems a little ridiculous. And then let's see if I can find some other examples, but
yeah, or even a good thing to do is look at the people that are getting these high ratings all the time. Mm-hmm. And just get like three different of those guys that you play well with.
Yeah.
So you always have one. Like, I'm not, if it's a day, who is it? If it's a day Jose Abreu doesn't have a huge bump from this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still probably going to play him over someone else who with their bump is kind of close.
Yeah.
But if for some reason Jose Abreu has a big negative stuff on him, maybe then I'll take him out.
Yeah. Like, oh, like,
they keep trying to put Freddie Freeman in the lineup, but no, I'm going to play Jose Abreu, even though technically Freddie Freeman might be a little bit better. Jose Abreu plays better for me.
Yeah.
So it's one of those feel things. Like, I got Carl Crawford. I don't know if I can hit with him. I played a game with him.
I have not had great luck with him, by the way.
Yeah.
Even though
I think this all comes down to, like, it depends on the guy's batting stance. Either you can hit with him or you can't.
So, I mean, I've seen an Inside Edge. I've seen guys who are boosted double digits up to 99s in categories, which is insane. So they're all of a sudden better than a Miguel Cabrera or a Mike Trout or like for a day, which, again, that doesn't make sense to me because over the long term, those guys are not going to overproduce, right, even if you just pull one day.
But why don't I just try to find two guys that are going to get two first basemen that are going to get boosts to 99 power? Yeah. And then never have to think about getting
platoon them.
Yeah,
exactly. So here's like Stephen Piscotty for the Cardinals today, plus 15 in both contact against righties and lefties, and plus 15 in power. So that takes his contact against righties to 90 and his contact against lefties to 91. So I mean, like, yeah, put him in your lineup. I mean, because that's almost as good as you're going to get in some of those things. Franklin Gutierrez is another guy who seems to be jacked up every single day.
He's up there all the time. He was in my starting lineup, like, all the time. Yeah. I was like, no, I'm going to play Mookie Betts over him.
If you can get used to his stance, which is, like, inverted practically with his front foot pointing in instead of out, he's a pretty good pickup. And then, let's see, there's others. Like, David Peralta is a good one. He's always boosted. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Corey Dickerson. Like, every day, he's up to a 90. He's up to a 90 today, which is his contact versus righties with Inside Edge is up to 99 today with a plus 8. And his other categories are plus 13, taking him into the 80s. So, I mean, if you're going up against a righty, you got to pick up Corey Dickerson. And he's like this is someone we'll talk about a little more later. He's one of those guys that people are like, wow, you know, he performs for me. Mm-hmm. And now he's also being boosted seemingly every day. So
I've only hit home runs with him.
Yeah.
I've had like four at bats with him. I have four home runs with him.
I haven't done as well as most people seem to be doing with him, but I haven't spent a whole lot of time with him yet.
Yeah. And another one of those guys you're talking about, Kendrys Morales, he is 70s to like 70s in all the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
But with Inside Edge, he gets plus 13 to everything.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah. Huge.
Yeah, so I mean, it almost becomes a question of like, do you want to spend your stubs on these big name players who are pretty much every day in the 90s rated, or do you want to beef up your collections to where you can just pick and choose on a given day? Here's the guy who's got the best contact today. Here's the guy who's got the best power today. They might even be higher than a Mike Trout today. So let's just keep rotating those guys in, and you almost end up with the same effect, only for a much cheaper price.
And what's weird is I feel like I never really see the best players getting big boosts.
Well, I think that's the part of the explanation in Inside Edge initially was that, look, a Mike Trout is going to be steady against everybody he faces, but somebody who's rated in the 70s and has a favorable matchup, they're going to be moving a lot more because, you know, Trout, he has a favorable matchup almost every day because he's facing a pitcher who's not as good as him, so he is going to, you know, perform in the 90, you know, upper 90s every game, and it's not really going to vary on a day-to-day basis. And these other guys who are more pedestrian, more average, are going to fluctuate a little more. And so that makes sense in that regard, but it also makes those lower rated guys more valuable, like we're talking about.
And as you say that, Mike Trout actually has +7 to his contact and power numbers.
Today. There you go. I didn't even know he could earn that much more.
Yeah. He's high 80s and everything. So now he's like 95 and everything.
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting to go through this stuff though, every day. And I think that's one of the things that I like about it, though, is that, yeah, it gives you a reason to go in there and say, every morning and say, all right, so who am I playing with today? And so it also changes up sometimes. Like, I'll go into a game and I'll be going to my bullpen, and I've got three lefties. I've got the rookie Chris Sale. I've got Glenn Perkins. I've got Tony Watson. And then on a given day, I'll look and I'll say, oh man, Glenn Perkins is down to a 73 or something, and Tony Watson is up to an 87. So Tony Watson's my setup guy now instead of Glenn Perkins or whatever it might be. And Chris Sale, because he's a throwback, he's not actually changing every day, so it keeps it a little steady there. But and then I also rotate closers, although I've settled on one, and I'll talk about him later and why, because I think it's an interesting case study for how guys perform for you. But, I mean, like today, Trevor Rosenthal is up 6 points to a 92 and, you know, plus 11 in hits per nine, plus 4 in Ks per nine, plus 11 in bases on balls and home runs per nine. Pretty strong attribute boost there. So it does change a little bit in game. I think maybe in game more than me changing my roster too much, how I manage, and maybe with pitchers more than batters. That's just me. Again, that's just personal though. I can see why people would switch out every day. Jose Abreu's up to a 95 today.
He's a beast also.
I've done okay with him. I think I have like 9 home runs with him.
But. And he's another one of those guys where he's got a weird kind of batting stance. He's way off the plate.
Yeah, so plus 11 in every hitting category today, which takes him up to 98 on contact versus righties. And he's a righty, so I mean, that's a great guy to have in your lineup. You don't have to worry about bringing in a lefty for him there.
Right. Yeah, and something you mentioned, how you're... I'm really weary about switching relievers because much like the batting stances, I feel like especially if you don't use pulse pitching, which I gave up on.
Oh, I can't use it. My vertigo, it just makes me nauseous.
now that I'm back to meter, I think you might want to probably stick with a set of relievers because you never know. You do the auto thing, you get these relievers that all have great ratings. Then those windups, you get into the game and you don't know, you can't time them right. It's going to take you a couple pitches to time it, and you don't get the warm-up pitches in online.
Oh, that's right. I was going to say, do you do the warm-up pitches? But then, yeah, in the online, they just throw you out there.
Yeah, so I would be weary of bringing in a whole new crew of relievers, if you can help it, if you can just get used to some guys' motions.
Yeah, that's a good point. So that's I like to stick with the guys I'm comfortable with. And that's definitely been the case with my roster for the most part. Again, but it's interesting because I do pay attention to this stuff now, though probably more than I thought I would. But yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the MOBAs before we get into some other miscellaneous stuff, TJ. So Battle Royale, I brought up a little bit earlier. Are you still playing Battle Royale as much as you were? Are you finding it as compelling? Because to me, I don't feel as incentivized to play it anymore as my team has gotten better. My normal team has gotten better because I look at those card offerings they give you in addition to the packs, and I'm not sure if the risk is worth the reward as far as the pay-ins.
Because yeah, you're gonna have to win
like six lot. Plus games, and again, because you don't have much margin for error there, I find, you know, most of the games I'm like, oh, there we go, I just lost on a walk-off where maybe I would have won in a 9-inning game, but those right. you make one mistake and sometimes that ends the game, so it becomes very
you throw
difficult.
That one bad pitch, you get that one bad call, and yeah. It's all different.
Yeah, so it becomes very difficult because I look at it and I say, okay, if I've got to win 10 games before I lose two, that's probably not going to happen. I'm not the best player. I think I'm pretty good, but I'm not the best player, and I'm probably not going to win 90% of my online games to get to where that becomes worth it. Now, I like the drafting process, and I like getting to use players that I normally don't have on my normal Diamond Dynasty team, and I like the three-inning online games. I wish we could play normal Diamond Dynasty games with three innings now, too, online instead of just in Conquest, but I'm not sure I'm feeling as motivated to play it as much anymore. What about you?
Yeah, I'm still liking it, but I'm kind of using it more as a test bed for players I'm going to end up buying for my real team. Like, so there's sometimes now where I'll take not the best card in the foursome. Just because, well, you know, I might end up getting this George Springer or this Carlos Correa. Let me try him out here and see if he's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Though who knows in a 3-inning game how many times you're actually going to get a
ball. You might get one swing.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the other problem with it. But
I do like that they're short.
Right.
Well, so if they're intended to be short. They can. I saw someone just played a 10-inning game.
Oh.
So I had one. I think I went. Did it go? I think I went 8 innings. And my bullpen was, I had one guy left, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So I was real worried.
Yeah, it can be dangerous. Conquest, though, I mean, we both finished Conquest, which is a single player. It's still connected online, but it's a single player experience against the CPU. And this was, we talked a little bit about it in the previous podcast, where I thought it was a little confusing at first. I didn't really have a good idea of the direction or you're supposed to go with it. And the strategies, and I had to restart it multiple times because I didn't completely grasp what was going on at first. And then I probably didn't go the right strategical way. What happened was I was just gonna take as many strongholds as I could. I was gonna go straight for them and take them because I wanted those unlocks. I wanted those missions.
Mm-hmm.
As the sooner the better, because then you start earning your innings, and then you can get to the feeding, the feeding goals. So. That's what I did, and it ended up taking me 40-some turns, and I eventually got to a point where, and I don't know how it happened, but because I didn't have a whole lot of fans. I was like 100 million or something. I got to a point where there were like five or six other teams, and they could no longer attack, and I wasn't sure why, but then it was easy after that. I just had to go after each one of them. And I finished it, and it was great. And then my biggest issue, and I wrote an article about this, was, man, you know, I really like Conquest. It gave those games meaning, working towards the unlocks, working towards your XP goals and everything that comes with it, and getting the card drops after every game where you might get something cool in those. But by the end of it, man, I end up playing the same three teams probably mm-hmm. like 30 times.
Yeah,
I got so sick of the Diamondbacks, the Astros, and I forget who the other team was now. I chose to try and forget about it, but it got very tedious at the end, and some of the enjoyment wore off. Did you have a similar experience?
Yeah, I think I beat it in 33 moves. It would have been 32, but I didn't see a block that was blank. So I had
one in Canada is almost like one in Mexico or something.
I missed the Mexico one. That's what screwed me up.
Yeah
I liked it. The 10 card pack is a reward for doing it, you know. That's nothing I'll sneeze at.
That's a $10 value basically.
Problem is I'm never gonna play this mode again because there's no other reward for me to get.
Yeah, you know, there isn't, and I've continued playing it a little bit just because I like the three-inning games and I like the card drops after. It gives me a chance to earn something. But you're right, there is no... And I guess they don't want people just continually playing through and getting the 10-card packs because, yeah, there's a huge time investment involved, though. There should be something for playing again. Maybe it's not 10 packs, but maybe it's something. It should be something. You're right. Give you some reason to continue playing, because now, after that, you can play the CPU in 9-inning games, or you can play online. But from what I see, what I've seen, and that was with the poll results that I had on Twitter and I had on Pasta Padre, was that people seem to be playing, and this could be server related, which we'll hit on a little later, but people seem to be spending more time playing the CPU and desiring playing the CPU in Diamond Dynasty than playing online, which shocked me because this mode and team building modes in general were built on the idea of head-to-head online play, but people wanted to play against the CPU.
They actually wanted to play.
Yeah.
Which you couldn't do in regular head-to-head games and Battle Royale most of the time. This was kind of the only mode. The Conquest was kind of the only thing that actually worked the majority of the time when the game launched.
Yeah. So it was, it's interesting though. Like there should be something built into that to let you continue playing or give you reason to continue playing more than there is now. And that's something they'll learn. Last year they learned about the weaknesses of the mode and they addressed most of them. So I suspect whether Conquest is back next year or something else along those lines, that they'll have a way or give you a reason to continue playing the CPU beyond just completion of a mode, which, you know, completion of a mode. Sports games, you generally don't find things that you complete. You always can continue a franchise mode, a career mode. There's really no end point to those things. So it's a little odd to find a mode here that that there is an actual end point and you're done. And so it's just unusual, and we're not used to it in a sports game.
Yeah, I might try to go back in just to see if I can beat it in more turns, but
yeah,
there's no real reason to do it. There's no real reason other than that to do it.
Now, TJ, have you played any friends online with your Diamond Dynasty team yet? Because this is another one of the new features, is the ability to play friends. Because I want to play you, and I want us to record it and talk about it for an upcoming video.
Believe it or not, I was able to play my brother-in-law on launch day.
What?
And then after that, I had never gotten it to work.
Well, there's a new patch that supposedly fixes that.
Well, yeah, now I've been able to play online head-to-head Battle Royale games with... I had one challenge failed. And I think I played like 10 games.
Yeah, challenge failed has been the bane of this mode for the online portion. A lot of difficulty in getting in any games. It was either challenge failed or it would be unable to find or connect to a game. And that was basically for the first 2 weeks of release, which is pretty extraordinary. We usually don't see, you know, the first few days, okay, we're pretty used to that. But weeks is a different story. And it took two patches. And now it seems to be up to where it needs to be. But challenge failed. It was happening in online franchise. It was happening in Battle Royale. It was happening in just normal head-to-head Diamond Dynasty. And then you also had the slow servers, which just the game moved to a crawl in the menus and practically things like Conquest almost became, well, in some cases it did literally become unplayable, but in many cases it was just something you wanted to avoid from the hours of 3 Pacific to 10 Pacific.
Yeah, that's why I was actually lucky, because I was still on my paternity leave. So when he fell asleep, I was actually able to kind of get some games in.
Yeah.
But
when I would
try to do it at night, there was no way.
It was even things like changing your lineup or scrolling through your collections, going into the marketplace. Like, you would spend 10 minutes doing one task, and it was
just logging into the game. If I wanted to go play Road to the Show, because it's got a check so they can give you the little card at the beginning of the day and all that stuff. And so even just trying to go and play Road to the Show that has nothing to do with online, though technically Road to the Show needs to be online because you get all your sponsorship stuff in those Diamond Dynasty packs.
Yeah, I believe if you unhook or disconnect from PSN, connect into the game, it would load fine. And I believe that if you played your Road to the Show or offline franchise, that once you connected later on to the servers, it would update and like upload your progress and you'd still get that stuff. But most people don't know that. Most people aren't going to go through that. So It was a rough time, you know. Like, it was such a, we were really excited about playing, and a lot of people were really excited about playing this mode and really enjoying it when it worked. It's just a matter of getting it to work. So we seem to be beyond much of that now. It's still a little slow. I mean, it's still a little slow for my taste, because it's checking in with the server every time I switch a tab on my roster or go into the inventory and switch a team. Like, every time I'd go into my inventory and I'd be like, all right, I got to get to the Mariners. So that's like 10 teams over to the right. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Here's another 5 minute. so completing collections and going through the market and putting things up on the market and stuff like that, it became a real chore and something that I did not enjoy about the mode. And it's still slow, but it's at least manageable, and at least I can go in and do what I want. But anything else, TJ? Like, I wanted to mention a few other things. Actually, before we get to that, gameplay-wise, in Diamond Dynasty, you might experience different things because of exploits and what people are trying to do online. How has gameplay been for you online? Have you come across anything annoying, or has it been pretty clean?
It's been pretty clean for the most part. I've had some times where, you know, like the pitch is coming in and it just like skips like 3 feet forward and throws you off a little bit.
Yeah.
The most frustrating thing I've seen is I have a speedster on first and I'm stealing a base, and for some reason, just in the middle of the baseline, he's just like, I'm just going to stop here for a second and then I'm going to keep going.
Is that because I know auto base running is broken. Are you using auto, or is that just something happening on a manual steal?
Manual steal.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen that as far as the personally, but
I've only seen it recently with really fast people, like with this Carl Crawford and I have D. Gordon. Yeah. I've seen it with both of them. So yeah. I don't know if that's the, oh, super fast guys aren't going to steal as much. We fixed steals and bunting.
Fixed it by making them not know how to run from one base to the next.
Yeah. And I've also, like, I want to say they fixed bunting. D. Gordon hits it to the second baseman every time now. But then when I play someone else, they drop down a perfect bunt with them.
Yeah, the bunts are an interesting issue, because if you're playing for a bunt, if you set your defense for a bunt, you can usually handle them. But a lot of times I'll find guys who I don't expect to bunt. It might be rated 67 or 70 or 75. So I'm not immediately thinking I better play bunt defense every time this person comes to the plate. They drop it down. It's almost always a perfect bunt, and I can't get to it and make the throw. So it's still an issue, because you always have to be worried about it. And I
never feel like I can do it. I always feel like the opponent can do it.
I don't want to do it. It's so cheap, but sometimes you're tempted.
Sometimes the situation calls for you needing to bunt.
It does. I usually just do that as a sacrifice. But yeah, now I have guys like Ichiro and Crawford, and where I'm thinking, that's a legitimate tactic in most cases, but if it's an exploit, part of me doesn't want to do it anyway. So, let's see. One other thing I was going to ask you about, TJ, card packs versus the marketplace. Are the packs worthwhile this year? Because last year, pretty much everybody just came to the conclusion that, you know, spend your stubs in the marketplace, don't bother with packs.
Yeah, with all these modes, that's kind of how I feel, no matter what the game is. Some people have said, oh, buy position packs, because there's less cards for you to get than if you buy the regular standard player packs. So in theory, you'll get better cards. Mm. But I was like, all right, that sounds logical. Mm. So I opened 10 of those position packs. I don't think I got a card over like 76.
Oh.
So
yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, so I don't know. There's some magic in there. I mean, sometimes you just gotta have that pack luck. I'd say if you're gonna do packs, wait for special packs to come out. I think at least last year they had monthly, like the top, what was like top 40, like top 40 of each league or something like that.
They've done that once, not that, but they did a spring training stars like pack earlier, and I think if they were going to do more, and I suspect they probably were, but they couldn't because they were dealing with all the server issues. The last thing they can do is say, "Hey, we put out a new pack. Spend your money on the packs now."
Yeah.
When the mode's not working.
Yeah, I was actually surprised there wasn't. Usually the packs come out Fridays, and I was actually surprised there wasn't a new pack this week.
Yeah, I wonder if that's
because of the and it's like, I kind of wanted PAX.
Yeah, I do, but I can understand the perception wise it's probably not the greatest look.
And it's interesting that in the show, as opposed to Madden and the other EA Sports one, I don't know if 2K does it, but in the show you can spend money on stubs. So like if you want Bryce Harper, you can go in and you can throw, what is it, 50 something, probably 60 bucks, 70 bucks? Or
Yeah, it's basically the equivalent, 1,000 stubs is basically a dollar. Yeah. When you look at the exchange rate, so
yeah, so you could go, what's Bryce Harper selling for right now? 70. Oof. You can put a buy order in for 78, or you can just buy it now for 94. So if you want to throw in 80 bucks and go get Bryce Harper, you can just do that. And or you can buy 80 packs of and possibly get garbage. Or you could get 3 diamonds. Who knows?
You never know. It's the lottery. Yeah.
So my rule of thumb, if I'm going to spend money, I do it and I buy the packs with it, even though I assume the packs are going to be garbage. But actually, buying the packs and having a lot of kind of crap cards will work out for you if you're super dedicated and you finish Conquest and you open up all those teams and you do all those innings with those teams' players, and then you go and feed those players into your Diamond Dynasty player, then
yeah, you're gonna need them eventually, or you can sell duplicates on the marketplace and all that and recoup some of your investment. But it's definitely a tough balance there. Yeah. Like I just spent one pack for 1,000 stubs and I get nothing, and I'm like, oh well, I just threw 1,000 stubs down the drain. What a dumbass.
Yeah. And you could have bought three decent players.
Yeah.
Depending on how your team is, you could have bought 3 decent players. You could have bought a new pitcher for your team or something.
Or just continued to build a team collection. So,
yeah. Some of those 25-man team collections are for, like, you can do them for less than 3,000 stubs.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's basically my next goal. Like, I'm trying to save up to finish the Mariners and get enough stubs for Felix and Cruz. Cruz I could easily get right now, but no point really until I get Felix. So,
yeah, Felix is one of the cheaper diamond starting pitchers. What is he, like 14? He was 14,000.
Oh, he's got to be more. I think he was in the 20s.
Was he that high? Maybe I was thinking of someone else. I was thinking Price. Yeah, he's in. Yeah, he's
like, yeah, there was.
Price was pretty cheap.
Is your recommendation in completing a collection? Because this is what I did. Is your recommendation going for the teams that have the fewest diamonds and the cheapest kind of gold rated guys? Like, because that's why I went after the Rays first. Archer, who I wanted for my team regardless, because he's a great pitcher. So I got Archer, and then everybody else was like, okay, I'm probably not going to use anybody else on the roster, but they're not very expensive. Next highest was like 1,000 or something.
Yeah, maybe if Jake Odorizzi gets a bump, maybe you'll use him. Kevin Kiermaier, I think, has a good inside edge. You might use him at some point. Evan Longoria might get some good inside edge.
Longoria is one of those guys who I could never hit with. Like, I got him in my first, like, the loyalty packs or whatever that they gave you the first day of the game. And he hit like 200 for me. And so even though he's rated 85, he's pretty much been on, not on my roster beyond that first week.
Yeah. So the way I kind of do it is I look at who I go to Daddy Leagues and I look at the list of who the 25 man things are and see if I collect 25 Orioles, am I really going to use a 77 overall Koji Uehara?
Yeah.
I'm not. And to do that, it's not going to cost a lot. Oh, actually, wow. For some of these 25-man ones, you can do them for like 300 coins. I was way wrong. Most of them you can do for under 1,000 stubs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not going to use that. Will I use an 84 Jared Saltalamacchia if you do 25 Red Sox? Yes. That card is a beast against right-handed pitching. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend getting it. Am I going to use an 85 overall Scott Kazmir? Yes. So I would do the Rays. Am I going to use that 82 Chris Sale, which is a awesome card because he's a reliever? Yes, and it's going to be 800 stubs.
I love that Chris Sale, but he's also given up probably more walk-off wins than any other pitcher from my bullpen. I think I get a little overconfident and just start throwing fastballs in or leave a slider over the plate. But yeah, it's and Kazmir I did not really like personally, but I don't know if that's because you go online and people are ready for lefties, and they just, so many righties are so good in this game, right, especially with inside edge and everything. But yeah, so that's one other thing I wanted to hit on before we talk about our teams a little bit. Random starters, TJ. Is it really random? Because it doesn't seem random to me. It seems like my number one starters does not, they don't get the same amount of starts as my others. Like, I'm pretty sure like 60% of my starters are the number four.
I feel like it's better. And I say that because I have Jacob DeGrom has 21 starts. Mm-hmm. And he's by far my number. To start the game, he was by far my number one. I got him in one of those opening, I think he was my rookie. You got those rookie packs for getting the super deluxe digital thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he's a 91 overall for this card. Mm-hmm. So he's been my ace for most of the time, and he's got 21 starts. But then I've had Garrett Richards, who's an 83 overall, and I usually have him in like the 4 or 5 spot, mm-hmm, when I actually use the squad that has Garrett Richards in it, mm-hmm, and he's at 5 starts.
Hmm.
So...
yeah, there's something off, and I don't know if it's always the number one starter or what, but I've seen other people talking about it, and like on the Operation Sports Forum, there's a thread where someone's saying they had so-and-so as their number one guy and got to use him twice in 20 starts, and they're like, so what's the point of having this starter that I never get to use?
I feel like it's getting better. I feel like I've used him a couple times.
Is there not an algorithm in place that correctly does that, or they should just get rid of the whole random system and go to a fatigue system where if you use a guy, that he can't be used again for the next 4 starts. You know, if you start your number one guy, or not even number one guy, just if you start a certain pitcher, he can't be used, or you have to set a 5-man rotation and stick with it for 5 games or whatever it might be. There's ways around it.
Right, but then you have the inside edge, so these guys are going to go down. You still want them in your rotation.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing.
Yeah, there's got to be a better way to do that. So, So let's close out, TJ, by talking a little bit about our sleeper players and our current team. So we did a piece on Hit the Pass this last week, and we were trying to unearth kind of the biggest sleeper overperformers is what I kind of call them. And they're guys who are not the highest rated ones and maybe not even getting the inside edge boost we talked about earlier, but for some reason they just step up for us in big moments, and they produce at a rate that really goes beyond their ratings. And so my player was Alejandro De Haza of the New York Mets. And it's really interesting because I looked at his ratings and I didn't realize this as I've been playing with him. But I pretty much only play him against righties. He's a lefty. He has 68 contact and 48 power against righties, which is not great at all, especially when we're talking about how these inside edges are pushing guys into the 90s in these categories. But he has hit .345, 15 home runs, and 27 RBIs, and that's a .750 slugging percentage, which is crazy for a guy with 48 power. So, again, we go into our theories of why, and you mentioned batting stances and everything. For De Haza, my thought was his swing is really, it's kind of like a compact uppercut swing. And so I don't know if it's psychological or if it's actually true, but it just seems like I get lift on the ball naturally more so than I do with other players, and I end up hitting these home runs, and he's probably hit game tying and game and home runs to take the lead more than any other player I've had. So he was my favorite. You went with
I went with Corey Seager, the shortstop for the Dodgers, shortstop slash third base, which I might move him to third base because his arm is awful. The main thing is he has good contact numbers, 84 contact versus righties, 74 versus lefties. Right now he's rocking the inside edge boost with plus 11 to both of those.
Ooh, yeah.
70 power versus righties, 66 power versus lefties. Now he's a couple thousand coin right now, but when you're thinking about shortstops, you're thinking Brandon Crawford of the Giants. You're definitely thinking Carlos Correa. Other guy whose name I can't think of that's real good.
Well, that's where I have that. By the way, that's where I have my Diamond Dynasty player, my Pasta Padre guy playing. Probably because it is kind of the weakest position.
Yeah, and so what's weird is, so I don't know if the cards I've already fed into my Dynasty player count towards that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I assume they don't until that mission is unlocked. So I have never actually used my Dynasty player yet.
Hmm.
I'm going to wait until I get those missions that I have to feed him the cards, and then I will feed him. And then
my guy's up to an 87, I believe.
Damn.
So
we're working away. And what's weird is Corey Seager is a very interesting journey to where Corey Seager is now on my team. I was hitting like 460 with him for the longest time, mm-hmm. but with no power. And I was like, this is nice, but I would like some power. His average has dropped to something more realistic, 357. But now he's leading my team in home runs as well. So I think one of the things is if you have players, if you get a lot of players with high contact, the power will come. Mm-hmm. I think if you get players with high power and low contact, you might get lucky now and then. But I think most of the time you're going to have bad luck with them.
Yeah, so everybody check out that piece on Hit the Pass, because there's basically six players who in asking on Twitter, came up just more than anyone else. And these are guys who are rated 75 to 80 and who can be purchased between like 100 and 800 stubs. So check out that piece if you want a kind of discount guys who seem to just overperform for everybody. And then we've got a ton of tweets from people with their suggestions on who those guys are. So finally.
Oh, Brian, I realized I lied.
You lied?
Yeah, Corey. I lied about Corey Dickerson.
You lied.
He's 4-for-4 for me, but only 3 home runs.
Well, you know, 75% home run rate. I think you'll take that.
I'll take that.
Yeah. So let's go down our teams a little bit, TJ, which because I think it's especially interesting now that we're a few weeks in, like how they're coming together. So I'll start with mine. Here's my starting rotation, okay? And this is, I forget, I think I completed the Padres collection to get him. I've got Gaylord Perry as my number one starter.
Yep, that's the Padres collection.
Chris Archer is my number two. Got Hisashi Iwakuma at 3. I've got the Michael Pineda that I unlocked from the Mariners, the 2011 Pineda as my 4, and then James Shields as my 5. How's your rotation looking?
I have Bert Blylevin, who I got for doing the entire Twins team.
Hmm.
Randomly pulled a Madison Bumgarner out of a pack.
Oh, so you lucky bastard.
Pack luck happens every once in a while. The Jacob DeGrom rookie flashback that I got with the Deluxe Digital. Because I think if you got the Deluxe Digital thing, everybody got a rookie.
And yeah, I don't know.
Somehow I got that rookie. A lot of people got really trash rookies, and I somehow got DeGrom.
Nice.
I also have Gaylord Perry from doing that Padres collection. And how did I get Wayne? I forget how I got this Wainwright. I was thinking about buying him
current day Wainwright, or
yeah, mm-hmm. I was thinking about buying him off the captain's thing, but I think I ended up getting him somehow. I don't remember if it was in a pack or something. Oh, you know what it was? I bought a bundle, and he was in that little topper thing. You know, you get like those 3 cards,
yeah,
and then the 10 packs. He was one of those cards in there, and then I was upset because none of the other cards were anywhere near as good as him.
Yeah,
but then actually, I have Garrett Cole and Chris. I haven't had Chris Archer come in, but Garrett Cole will pop in. Depending on how his inside edge does. But he has a weird windup, as does Gaylord Perry.
Yes, so he does, yeah.
I don't know if those guys are going to stick around.
Gaylord Perry has been interesting for me because I found with him in his starts, I'm dominant with him except for one inning where I tend to give up like 3 runs. So I don't know if that's just coincidence or what, but Chris Archer's been great for me. Iwakuma's great. So, and then James Shields is fun because I think he's got a knuckle curve, which, you know, you take that online, you take a knuckle curve online, and that's always gonna give people trouble. So, bullpen. I love my bullpen. So, lefties in my bullpen: Tony Watson of the Pirates, and Glenn Perkins of the Twins, and Chris Sale, the rookie Chris Sale. And then I have righties: Joaquin Benoit. I've got Pat Neshek. And
you're one of those.
Wait, I got him like the first day, and he's
so did I, and I vowed to never play him.
You're like, okay, so it's hard not to, though, because, and it's not just because he's tough on people online, but he's one of these guys who are getting inside edge boosts seemingly every day too. Today he's +4 in pretty much every category, so he's up to an 85. And then my setup guy is Trevor Rosenthal, who should be my closer, but I think in the first 5 save opportunities I had for Rosenthal, he blew through 3 of them, which soured me on him, but he's up to a 92 today. So here's my closer, okay? And I'm going to explain to you why. Kelvin Herrera of the Kansas City Royals. He is amazing. And I'm gonna see if I can pull up my stats with him here in a second. But
he throws gas. I know that.
He throws. I've hit 101 on the gun with Herrera, and so I go in there, and even against the CPU, I just throw fastballs almost all. But then you come back with a changer or something, and they can't handle it. So let's see.
I feel like in the statistics, I can't ever find pitching stats.
Oh, it's the first thing that came up for me. Hit L1 or R1. Herrera, it's in the, I'll tell you in a second after I look here. Herrera's only pitched 16 innings for me, but he has, let's see, so 16 innings, he's 1-0 with 8 saves, 3 holds, let's see, no earned runs, so he hasn't given up a run yet in 16 innings. And strikeouts, 36 strikeouts in 16 innings. Oh boy, I didn't even realize that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, tell me where you're going to this magic place to look at stats.
0.61 average against. So go over to the tab, the records tab, and then statistics.
That's where I go.
Okay.
And then what are you under? You're like looking at closing pitchers?
I'm looking at the first thing that comes up is just pitchers in general. And it's showing all the pitchers. If you hit L1 or R1, you can switch position players, starting pitchers, relief pitchers. Are you not seeing this?
Oh, no. If you go to starting pitchers, there are no pitching stats. Like, what? Go to starting pitchers and then look for the pitching stats.
They're there for me. I've got Taiwan Walker here
You are R1 to starting pitchers?
Yeah. Taiwan Walker here, it shows him as he was really good for me. I should still be playing him.
Yeah, I don't see ERA here. I see innings, but I guess they would technically be in.
That looks like hitting stats.
Yeah, I only see their hitting stats here. In that pitchers, I do see pitcher stats. Also, you know what really sucks is I can't hit triangle to view the player card and see the stats there, which they used to have.
Yeah, they should do that too. Yeah.
So you got to scroll all the way over here.
It seems to work on just the general pitching, and then you have to scroll way far to the right.
I don't even know what this stat means. What's a save streak? Because I have 5,024 with Rich Gossage.
Huh. Yeah, I don't even know what that is either. Let's see. Rosenthal for me, 24 innings. Pretty good. 2.22 ERA. But that's not nearly as good as Herrera.
Yeah, Rich Gossage has, where'd the ERA go?
Yeah, Rosenthal 0-3. Those are the 3 blown saves that he gave me.
Rich Gossage has 21 saves, a 0.79 ERA.
Oh, nice.
Taiwan, written up .68.
Taiwan Walker was 17-4 for me. So that's, again, I think I talked about that before. I love his motion is so smooth and consistent that I'm able to time that one really well.
That's a lot of. So you pitch with him a lot.
Yeah, but he wasn't my number one guy. He was like the number 3 or 4 guy. He was in my roster for a long time. Yeah.
I'm 10-3 with DeGrom, 5-0 with Garrett Richards.
There you go.
I just threw what I have. I had 18 strikeouts against someone online with him, and Garrett Richards did a home run in that game.
Oh yeah, that's right. So who's your closer?
Gaylord Perry.
Gaylord Perry's your
That's
closer.
A lie. I'm sorry. Yeah. Rich Gossage.
Oh.
I knew it was an old Padre. I have the 88 overall version.
You need to let somebody hit a walk-off home run and bat flip on him.
Well, when he gets a strikeout, sometimes he does that little twirly thing around the mound.
I wonder if he would be upset about that.
I think he would be very upset if he found out about that. Kelvin Herrera was 4-0 for me. Or no, 4...
Got him in your bullpen too?
Yeah. He's 4 saves. Yeah. One loss. Sorry.
Yeah, I love that guy. So,
yeah, 15 innings. Where were strikeouts? Yeah, 15 innings pitched, 17 strikeouts. Yeah. So, yes, he's a monster. Right, also, 5 pitches for a reliever.
No, yeah, four. Yeah. So my starting lineup.
Whoa.
Got your bullpen. Go.
Yeah. I'll do it quick. While these screens don't let me do it quick.
Yeah.
I got Ken Giles from the Astros. Uh-huh. has I think he's my only guy that's actually a reliever.
Yeah, all my guys, I think, are considered closers now.
Yeah, I actually have to take out the stupid thing, put Adam Warren in as my long reliever because he has 67 stamina.
Oh, that's pretty good for the bullpen.
Get Ivan Nova. He's like a 69 overall.
Hmm.
But he's got 84 stamina.
Mm-hmm.
So just in case you need that. Then I have Rich Gossage as my closer. Jurys Familia from the Mets. I've been stockpiling Roberto Osuna cards because he's going to go up.
Hmm.
Glenn Perkins is a beast from the left side.
Yeah, he's good.
Luke Gregerson has a really nasty slider and sinker combination.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this doesn't have one person in. Sean Tolleson, also very good. And he also gets huge IE boosts.
Yeah. All right, so my leading off my lineup got the 2001 Ichiro. That's followed up by shortstop Pasta Padre. and then Robinson Cano, Jose Abreu. Cano and Abreu right now are in the mid-90s with the boost. Matt Holliday, who I slid in there because he's up to a 91 today. Todd Frazier, who's been good for me consistently since I got him a few weeks ago. Carlton Fisk is now my catcher. Got Carl Crawford down in the 8th spot because I have not been able to really hit with him yet. And on my bench, these are some guys that get swapped out every now and then, but currently it's David Peralta. I've got a throwback Yasmani Grandal as my backup catcher. Matt Kemp. Logan Forsythe is my utility guy because he can play second base, first base, third base, shortstop, left field, or right field. It's nice having a guy like that.
Always
on your
good
roster.
To have that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I got the Fred McGriff that I unlocked from the Braves.
A beast card.
As a pinch hitter off the bench. Coming off the bench.
He's really good coming off the bench, too.
Yeah.
Mine is, well, I haven't actually used this team because I just hit the squarey thing. It's got Michael Brantley leading off in left field, who I actually play with. He's got really good contact numbers, so I like using him.
Yeah, I had him for a while, and I think I sold him. I wanted somebody else instead. So. Yeah.
And because I did the weird generate lineups thing, this has Mookie Betts at second base.
Hmm.
He was my center fielder for a long time. Then he actually got moved to right field in the last roster update prior to this week's. In the first roster update, he moved from center to right, which is weird because he plays center field.
Yeah.
Unless I have not been paying close enough attention to the Red Sox games. Then I have J.D. Martinez in right, who is... J.D. Martinez was the first player in the game that I was like, all right, I have a couple thousand coins. Let me go buy somebody that's awesome. And I got J.D. Martinez. First base, Jose Abreu. He was my comeback to MLB reward player.
Oh, yeah. He was my captain reward.
Mm-hmm. Corey Seager is my shortstop. He's hitting five now. He was hitting like two in the two hole for me,
mm-hmm.
which is why I loved his contact.
Yeah.
But then once the power started coming, I dropped him down a little bit. Also, when Mookie Betts isn't playing second base, I usually have D. Gordon in there, and he was leading off, and then Seager was hitting behind him.
Mm-hmm.
This also put Miguel Sano at third. I usually have Chris Bryant playing there. Lorenzo Cain's in center field. I just got him not too long ago.
That's a good one.
I actually saw... who was it? Paul Sporer from Fangraphs was using Lorenzo Cain on a stream.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I need to get me some Lorenzo Cain because he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then catcher, I usually run the rookie throwback Jared Saltalamacchia that you get from doing the 25 Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it has Victor Martinez in. Set up as a first baseman, but he's got like 94 contact versus lefties and 80 contact versus righties.
Mm-hmm.
And he's another one of those guys that's always on boosts. I usually keep him on the bench because it's nice because then I can... Because what I like to do with my bench is have a guy like a Raji Davis that has like 99 speed. So if I want to pinch hit, I can pinch hit Victor Martinez because he's got the high contact. But he's got... Do I even want to know what the real number is? He has 11 speed.
Oh.
So hopefully I get on, hit a single, put Raji Davis in to run.
Yeah.
Or if he's catching, then I can... I usually have him on the bench because he can go in and play first base if I need a first baseman, or he can catch. I kind of don't like having a guy that can only catch on the bench,
mm-hmm.
just because it kind of locks you there.
You definitely want a catcher, though. You never know. Yeah. There's been injuries a few times where I'm like, oh, man, if I didn't have a backup catcher or something.
Yeah, it's always good, just in case.
I did, you know, sometimes out of curiosity, I've done a few innings where I've let a position player pitch or I've had, like, a random guy playing catcher. And then after a pass ball here or whatever, I'm like, okay, yeah, I've had enough of that, so... I've gotten away with the position player pitching a few times, though. It's kind of funny.
Where was I? Oh, okay. So my bench right now, George Springer in right field, tons of power, tons of speed.
Yeah.
Super athletic guy. Loving him. Josh Harrison, he's the third base. He's the second baseman for the Pirates. He has second and third base eligibility in this game. High contact. Not a lot of power, but... like I said, if you have enough contact and you make it good, it'll turn into power. This has Matt Holliday and like Devin Mesoraco, but I don't really use those guys. Usually I keep like a Raji Davis, somebody with like really high speed, because now I have that Carl Crawford, so he might break into the lineup only against righties because he's really good against them, but Carl Crawford might just be like my bench guy that comes in and steals if he doesn't stutter step halfway down the line.
It's an intimidating guy to bring off the bench, I think.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, TJ, I think this is fun. You know, we spent over an hour talking about Diamond Dynasty, and probably in the next week or two we'll have new stories to tell about this. So,
and people are either going to love or hate this episode, so that'll be fun.
Well, yeah, that'll be something to look forward to. Feedback. There's not a lot else going on, people. So we're gonna hit on Diamond Dynasty this time. I think in general, Diamond Dynasty is excellent this year, and Sony San Diego has taken the mode to the next level by hitting on those areas of weakness it had in MLB 15, and they've done a lot of good. And it's just the exterior factors with the servers that have held it back somewhat. But as that clears up, people are gonna begin enjoying Diamond Dynasty even more. So thank you, TJ Lowerman, that sports gamer, for joining me on this episode of the Press Row Podcast. For Brian Weedye from Pasta Padre, hit the pass in sporting news. Take care. Till next time.